If you have a Bible, and I sure hope you do, would you open up to the book of Romans? We'll begin the final chapter, Romans 16. It's on page 950 if you're following along in the Pew Bible. Romans 16. If I had to bet a chapter, you may, in your Bible reading, have skipped over from time to time. I would liken Romans 16 to the credits at the end of a great movie. People who like good movies and don't want to miss a single bit will sit all the way through the credits. What might seem like a random list of names. A couple of reasons why is because you want to know who did what and who to credit for the good work that's gone on and bringing that movie, that work of art to you. But also sometimes there's bloopers, there's deleted scenes, there's teasers for future movies. Or things that help you make sense, if you've ever sit all the way through credits, on how all of the movies in a series work together. And some of you may even have the friend who really loves movies and insists that you sit through every last name. Well, since we're expositional in our preaching, that's exactly what we're doing this morning. I'm going to insist that you listen and see that there's treasures even in this list of names in Romans 16. So if you found Romans 16, verse 1, in your copy of God's Word, and you're willing and able, would you stand for the reading of God's Word? Romans chapter 16, I'm going to read verses 1 through 16. I commend to you our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Synchrae, that you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and help her in whatever she may need from you. For she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. Verse 3, greet Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus, who risked their necks for my life, to whom I not only give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks as well. Greet also the church in their house. Greet my beloved Epaphras, who was the first convert to Christ in Asia. Greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Greet Andronicus and Junia, my kinsmen and my fellow prisoners. They are all well known to the apostles, and they were in Christ before me. Greet Ampliatus, my beloved in the Lord. Greet Urbanus, our fellow worker in Christ, and my beloved Sacchus. Greet Apelles, who is approved in Christ. Greet those who belong to the family of Aristobulus. Greet my kinsman Herodian. Greet those in the Lord who belong to the family of Narcissus. Greet those workers in the Lord, Tyrophena and Tyrophosa. Greet the beloved Persis, who has worked hard in the Lord. Greet Rufus, chosen in the Lord also, his mother, who's been a mother to me as well. Greet Asyncritus, Phlegon, Hermes, Patrobus, Hermas, and the brothers who are with them. Greet Philologus, Julia, Nereus, and his sister, and Olympus, and all the saints who are with them. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. Thank you, and you may be seated. Have you ever thought it was strange how churches even do things like membership, that they would keep a list of names of those who have covenanted with that church family in a church or in a city like Rome? Or even a more strange thing, that if you have ever stayed for the end of one of our services or been to a business or members meeting, the membership transfer, like letters of recommendation, endorsement from a Christian moving from one town to another, from one church to another. Friends, this text is one of the texts where we get that idea or that principle from. Here Paul is writing a letter of recommendation along with the letter to Rome for Phoebe to be received, like they have already received all of these people that I just listed. Paul is going to say, as you have received these brothers, receive Phoebe, who has now come to Rome. I got to write a similar letter, not like the letter of the Romans, but a similar letter of recommendation to a pastor in California earlier this fall. You remember the Burns, dear family of seven that we had? I wrote to a stranger I did not yet know, although I had heard him preach in our town, pastor in San Diego, Pastor Tim. And I'm going to read from this email. I did this last week. I don't want you all to think every sermon is going to begin and end with an email, but these two are. Pastor Tim, My name is Lucas Page. I'm a pastor at Bethany Baptist Church in Bowling Green, Kentucky, and a close friend of Lance Parrott's. I got to attend the TCT Micro Conference this spring that you spoke at and was very much encouraged by your preaching and ministry in San Diego. In God's good providence, we have a family in our church membership that is taking a job in San Diego near your church. The husband will be flying out there this week to begin work, and I have already connected the rest of the family with Kaleo Church, your church online. His name is Clayton Burns. He is a recent convert, but growing rapidly and is very teachable. I expect him to be in attendance this Sunday and his family to seek to become a part of your congregation as soon as possible. If you could be on the lookout for him these coming Sundays, that would be great. I told him that I would be contacting you. He could use some hospitality and accountability as he adjusts to the new area and is away from his wife and children until he finds a house to buy in California. In Christ, Pastor Lucas. I wanted to read that so that you get a sense that Scripture and these things that happened 2,000 years ago are not so far off from today. If we understand them biblically, we understand how biblical churches acted, how people traveled and got jobs or went with church plants to new towns. Paul, we find in verses 1 and 2, is sending this letter, the famous Roman letter, the epistle, by hand of a lady named Phoebe. Imagine as the church at Rome gathered that Lord's Day and read all 16 chapters. And as they're reading that, instead of checking out at the credits, they got to chapter 16 and they looked over and they saw Phoebe and they realized the lady who just brought this letter that we've all been blessed by is our sister. And she is here to stay for a season. And we are to welcome her and love her as Christ would into the body, into the church at Rome. I think that's what's going on this morning in our text and is helpful for us as we think about the body of Christ at large and locally, as we think about what it means to welcome one another into the family of the local church. So this morning's sermon title, as you see, is Family to Receive or to Welcome in the church or at the church at Rome. So I'm going to divide the text three ways. Real simple. Who to welcome? Who are these people? Who is she? The second will be how to welcome them. Like what kind of welcoming? What kind of love? What kind of receiving? And then third, why to welcome or receive? So who to welcome, how to welcome, and why to welcome. And just so you can visualize this, verses 1 and 2 contain all three of those points, that point of application for the church at Rome. You've got the who, Phoebe. You've got the how, verse 2a, welcome her in a way worthy of the Lord. And then the why, the last clause of verse 2, for she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. So how I'm showing you the outline so you can see how I'm going to put that with the rest of all these verses. I think what Paul is doing here is he's saying, welcome Phoebe this way for this reason. And then virtue of doing that, he's saying, and all those brothers and sisters that I've already sent you to Rome to help with the church planting there, welcome her, receive her the same way you welcome and receive them per my recommendation. He gives a shout out to them. One more reason why I'm convinced that is why these verses fall this way, and that is the intent, is if you'll look, next week's sermon is going to be the opposite. If this is family to receive, next week's sermon is going to be foes to avoid. Look at chapter 16, verse 17. I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause divisions and create obstacles to the doctrine that you have been taught, and avoid them. So what he's asking them to do to Phoebe, they have already done to all these brothers. And that church is going to be careful, contrasting to how they treat those who are against Christ and would destroy the church. Do you see how I'm laying out this outline, or why I am compelled to do it this way? All right, so the first thing, who to welcome? Chapter 16, verse 1. Who is the church at Rome to welcome? The first verse there. I commend to you our sister, Phoebe, a servant of the church at Synchre. So this is a real person. Her name is Phoebe. She's standing there. She's the deliverer of the letter to the church at Rome. But she's not just anybody. She's a sister in Christ. Notice how he says, not my sister, but our sister. Do you see that? Even before she gets there, she is their sister by virtue of the family of Christ, by the blood, resurrection of Christ that unites them, even though they've never met her. Her name is Phoebe. She is a servant of the church at Synchrae. Synchrae was one of the ports in Corinth. This is why we know that Paul is writing from Corinth. She was formerly a part of that church. She is delivering the letter. We don't know how long she's going to be in Rome, but she is there with them. Phoebe. He commends the reception, the welcome of Phoebe, but he's already, in previous months or transitions or times, sent others. In the rest of our text, chapter 16, verses 3 through 16, there are 27 specific names, real people like you, real people that are making up the congregation or the local churches in Rome, real people with real names. So imagine as they're reading the letter and Phoebe is mentioned, they look at her and say, we've got to receive this sister. And then he goes on, he lists all these names. Everyone in the congregation's like, hey, I'm one of them. Woo, that's me. Paul's proud of me. I'm here. I'm gathered with the body. I'm in Christ too. Imagine the shot of encouragement that would give them. Each and every one of these or their family heads known by name by the Apostle Paul. Think about that. Do you know the names of your brothers and sisters at Bethany Baptist Church? Do you pray for them by name? Jesus, the great shepherd, says he knows each and every one of his sheep by name. Paul was practicing the shepherding aspect of his own Lord Jesus Christ. This is important that we know. So let's just look at some of these 27 names. Let's give you a couple of stats on these names because we're thinking about who to welcome. We're going to welcome Phoebe if we're at Rome. As these have been welcomed, as maybe you have been welcomed into a body of Christ. These names are very diverse. Okay, so we have Prisca and Aquila. You probably know them in verse 3. Verse 5, we have a guy named Epaphroditus. Verse 6, we have a lady named Mary. That's pretty clear that that's a lady. Andronicus, it's a man's name. Hunia, probably maybe a lady's name. It's debatable there. Ampliatus, so just name after name after name after name. I want you to see this. There are different people in the church, but different people with different backgrounds. 9 of them are women. The rest are men. The church is to be made up of men and women. In fact, a woman is being commended as a servant to be accepted into the bride of Christ. We should have men and women. They are to receive men and women. 14 of these 27, according to scholars, are names not native to Rome, meaning they were immigrants to Rome, possibly from other Asian cities. So the church is not to just have names of only the people that have always lived there, but they'll be made up of people driving from Tennessee or from Smith's Grove or from outside of the community. The church is going to be made of immigrants, of those who are outside, who those who came and chose to plant their life there to bless that church. 3 out of the 27 are Jewish names. Well, that makes sense, right? Because Paul's been saying the church at Rome needs to get together and not divide over Jewishness or Gentileness. And it seemed like the Gentiles were kind of using their freedom to kind of make the Jews feel less than. This proportion fits the description of the church and the struggle that should be happening, that even though we have come from different backgrounds, we are one in Christ and we should fight to welcome one another and love one another. 30%, according to scholars, I don't know how to interpret this without the scholars, 30% of these names are slave names, typically associated with slave, and 70% of freedmen in that area. So we see the church is made up of diverse ethnic background, but also economic background. 30 and 70%. Friends, as we become a more biblical church, as the Lord wills, we ought to reflect more and more the diversity in our community. The diversity of heaven. The Lord alone can do this, but we should be happy and rejoice when he does this. Different types of people in the first century church. Will Bethany look so diverse? A couple other things about the who. This ought to encourage you. Remember how I said credits maybe show us a teaser about how this movie in the Marvel's Avengers is related to the last movie in Marvel's Avengers? These names, several of them, coincide with other books of the Bible. Chapter 16, verse 3, Prisca and Aquila. That's probably the most famous couple in the Bible that is in many different books. Acts chapter 18, another reference from the writer Luke. It says that Paul found a Jew named Aquila and a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla, because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome, and he went to see them. After this, Paul stayed many days longer and took leave of the brothers and set sail for Syria, and with him he took Priscilla and Aquila. At Cenchreae, he had his hair cut, for he was under a vow. Why do I read that? Because I want you to see that the Bible, the letters were being not only traded between multiple churches, but the people were known between multiple churches. There was good reception between different churches. They weren't working against each other. They were working with each other for a greater mission than just the Bethany Baptist mission or the Eastwood mission. It was a greater mission. This ought to encourage you that all of Scripture does not contradict itself, but upholds one book to another. Even look at Romans chapter 16. Rufius here. That was a funny name. Did you catch that one, Rufius? What verse is that? Verse 13. Greet Rufus. Not Rufius. Rufus. He would have been really upset at me for mispronouncing his name. Glad he's not here this morning. Greet Rufus, chosen of the Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. Did you know Rufus? If you pay attention to the details of Scripture, he comes up in another book of the Bible. In Mark chapter 15, listen to this, verse 21. Remember the famous scene of Jesus about to be crucified. It says, they compelled a passerby, Simon of Cyrene, who was coming in from the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to carry his cross. So this guy, Rufus, who is now following his Jesus, the resurrected Jesus, his dad was someone associated with the crucifixion and helping carry Jesus' cross. This has been a family affair, multi-generations of following Jesus. That ought to bolster our confidence in the Gospel of Mark, that it is true, that it is real. It tells us also something about when Mark writes his gospel. He tells us who carried the cross and who his children were, because they were real people who could validate and say, yes, yes, that was my dad, or no, you're making it up. And they were born again believers in the church at Rome. You see, this ought to encourage our understanding of Scripture, the sufficiency, the inerrancy of Scripture. Last thing, I think names are important. I know you all have a name, and they tell us that our name is our most cherished object in life that makes us distinct from others. You get somebody's name wrong, they're going to be mad at you for a while. Some people will never forgive you if you continue to pronounce their name incorrectly. One more thing about these names. These names are true names, true to that area, true to that time, true to the proportion in which they really existed at that time. Why do I say that? Because if someone wrote this just in the last 200 years and wanted to make up the Christian religion, the names they would probably pick would not be names that were really used back then. So we went and dig up all these archaeological facts, and they've got names like Bill and Joe and Tom. We'd say, okay, those are none of the names we find in the ancient scrolls in Rome. But these names are in proportion, not just male and female, slave and free, but to the geographical regions of the text. Let me just illustrate it like this. I went somewhere this week. Tell me if you can guess where it was. And as I was in this facility, I was looking for someone I know, and I was going through and I was reading all the names along the walls. And there were lots of lady names, not many men names. And there were names like Rosaline and Mary Bell and Bobby Joe and Elizabeth and Gladys. You can tell where I was by the kinds of names and in which ratio male to female they were. I was at a nursing home. Women tend to live longer than men. 9 out of 10 of the people there were women, and there were women names. And most all of those names we would associate with an older generation, wouldn't we? In the same way, if you take these names, you compare them to archaeological facts, you would verify that Scripture is true, that we can trust this. This was a legitimate, possible membership role at the church at Rome. So I do that to bolster your confidence in God's Word, to trust him, to hang on every word, every credit, even in this book. So who are they to welcome? They are welcome Phoebe, a sister, a servant of the church at Synchrae. The next thing I want you to see is this: how to welcome. So here's Phoebe. They hear a very brief description of her. Now, how are they to treat Phoebe? She's a foreigner. They've never met her before. Verse 2. That you may welcome her in the Lord in a way worthy of the saints, and help her in whatever she may need from you. Paul basically is saying, I commend her to you. I'll tell you more about why in just a minute. But whatever she needs, do for her. Welcome her in a way that is worthy of Christian love and hospitality. Not like the world welcomes, begrudgingly, only half-heartedly. Welcome her in a way worthy of Christians, in a way worthy of those who have come to know Christ Jesus. Think about Phoebe. She doesn't know anybody there. Even if she is a wealthy patron, as we might think here, she doesn't know the safe place in town to live. She might be a lady. If she is a lady, it might not be safe for a lady to go find a place on her own. The men of the church or a couple of godly women of the church might need to help her find a house. Or in temporary times, they might have to show hospitality. She might live with them for a couple of months till she finds a home. She would need encouragement. She would need accountability. She would need godly friends. And so he says, when she is there, and she is there, she's reading the letter next to you, or you've read it, welcome her in a way worthy of the saints. Help her in whatever she may need from you. So I told you I would take this as the outline for the rest of the text. We had a list of names, but we also, as he says, come in to welcome, we get greetings in chapter 16, verses 3 through 16. As you have welcomed these brothers and sisters, welcome Phoebe. So if you were to look at this in the Greek, every verse except for verse 4 from here on out begins with the word, as your English does, greet. Greet, receive, welcome, love. And then we get to the end of verse 16. We get a descriptor on this greeting. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. So they were to love her the same way they were loving each other in that bride of Christ. Even though they did not know her well, even though she was new to town, they were to welcome and to love her the way that they had greeted one another and been received when they first came to the church at Rome. A couple things about that. He says, help her in whatever way she may need from you. This is a reminder that everyone in the body of Christ has different needs. She might not have needed money. It says she was a wealthy patron, but she did need security and safety and protection. Some might come to us who are doing great spiritually, but have fallen on hard need times financially. They might need financial help. They might be singles. They might be elderly. There's one here who's called a mother to all. She might be an elderly lady who would need help in meeting her needs in a different way. They might have been those who just came out of prison and had wounds and were hurt physically, and they need to be nourished back. Whatever need she has, he says, meet it. And so we as Christians today, whether in Rome or Bethany, whoever comes and joins our body and names the name of Christ, we are signing up to love them in whatever way they need. If they're married, they might need encouragement from other married people. If they're a widow and they're not only not any longer have a spouse, they don't have any children, they might need us to come and bring our children to visit them and encourage them and to love them when others cannot visit them. Whatever need they have, they move here and need help finding a job. They move here and need help finding a home. Whatever need they have is how Christians are to welcome one another, to be bestowed full membership benefits of that covenant community. Does Bethany do that? Will we do that when we promise to love one another and keep covenant to one another? We will love each other in whatever way is right and whatever they need from us. Paul would say, as you did with these members, do with Phoebe. So you have a welcome of Phoebe and you have 19 plus greetings. So I think it's helpful for us to think about what this greeting might look like. And even in verse 16, greet one another with a holy kiss. All right, whoa, what was that? What's that? Everybody wants to know, what's that? Okay, well, first of all, it says kiss, but it's called what kind of kiss? A holy kiss, okay? So this is not a kiss of seduction, of homosexuality. Unholy, it's not an unholy kiss, it's a holy kiss, okay? We also believe that this was culturally relevant, meaning whatever this greeting was, it was not unholy in that time and in that place. Let me give you an example of this. When Ezra and I went to a Middle Eastern country, we saw two grown men holding hands and walking to the market. Now, if you know anything about this country, it is illegal. You would die if you were practicing homosexuality there. So there was nothing unholy about what these men were doing. That's how men show affection. Friends, godly men, if they were godly, would hold hands in that country. Now, what about if you saw Lucas and Ezra holding hands in this country? It would mean something different, wouldn't it? So this was a culturally appropriate holy greeting. So am I asking you to begin kissing each other after the service? No, that's not the application. That's not the application. In fact, anyone gets close to my wife, you're going to get something else holy. Greet one another with a holy kiss. This was pure. So what do we think this is? Well, the greeting, it had meaning. It was something physical. It was some way audible or visible to show that the bond that they had was different than the bond that people in the world had. That they were set apart, that they were holy, that they loved one another. One of our brothers does this often. If you guys know Hunter Kinslow, he likes to hug and he hugs his brothers and he's always the first to say, "I love you." And it took me a while to get used to that, but I like it. And it's right. I do love Hunter. I love you, brothers and sisters in Christ, differently than I love the people of the world. So it could be something as simple as that. I love you. It could be a warm hug, as is holy and appropriate. Okay? One thing it possibly could mean is just the sacredness of this word. It's there in chapter 16, verse 1. I commend you, our sister. You get others for the male version here, brothers in Christ. I think there's something sacred that if we know someone is in Christ, if they are born again, and they are one of us that is a part of the family of God, that we call them something, not just Joseph, but my brother. Not just Valerie, but my sister. There's something sacred in that. It ought to mean something. I'm like, "Hey, what's up, bro?" And you just call everybody brother on the basketball court. No, we are talking about a family distinction. Not those who are born from below, but those who are born from above by the Spirit, by believing the gospel. They are a new creation. I don't know if you've noticed that about me, and maybe some of you picked it on. I take that very seriously. It's friend to those who are outside of Christ or have not professed public faith. But to ones who have and who walk with him, it's brother. It's sister. It's so sacred. I love Olivia, my friend. But after we baptized her, it was my joy to say, my sister in Christ. Even though she's a young sister, sister and brother. So that might be the best we have. A holy hug, as is appropriate. I love you, as is appropriate and still holy. And then just the naming of brother and Christ. Turn to 2 John. We get a visual of this. There were letters of recommendation in the New Testament. Scholars said they have dug up letters of recommendation for churches, transferring members between churches all throughout the first century and beyond. But turn to 2 John. So that's like not John the Gospel, not 1 John, but 2 John towards the back of your Bible. We've got a little bit of this in here. So right before Jude and Revelation, 2 John. Second John, there's only one chapter. He's giving a warning, so not a letter of recommendation, but as we'll see next week, foes to avoid, the opposite, not recommendation. He says this, notice the power in greetings. Notice the power in words and the way that brothers draw a line of those who are with us and those who are not yet. 2 John, verse 9, everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teachings, that means continue to believe and follow the gospel, has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him in your house or give him any greeting. For whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. I don't think it means you just don't say hi to them. But if you call them brother, if you treat them as a brother and sister in Christ, you are condoning their wicked doctrine and their wicked lifestyle as those who say they're in Christ but betray him with their actions. You see that? So the power of greetings, 3 John, I didn't have time to write down the reference there, but he even talks about, yeah, turn to 3 John, this is one page over. 3 John, verse 15, peace to you, the friends greet you, greet the friends each by name. So here's a letter of recommendation, specifics, and holiness in the greeting of those who are with us and those who are not yet. We should be careful with our language, but we should rejoice in being called brother or sister and greeting one another in Christ. In Christ. So maybe we should just stop and think about that. How do I get that name? Or how do I receive this greeting of peace? How do I get to become a sister or brother in the Lord Jesus Christ? Friends, it is the gospel that does this. It is the gospel that made Phoebe, who used to be an enemy of Christ, who Ephesians would say she was a child of darkness, following the prince in the power of this air, a child of wrath. She was dead in her trespasses and sins, but then God, by the grace of his Son, saved Phoebe. And she became a new creation. All the condemnation that was deserved upon her as being outside of the family of God, all of that condemnation was justly put on Jesus Christ when he lived the perfect life and died the death that Phoebe deserved and rose again. And what are Jesus' first words to his disciples when he comes back from the dead? He says what? Greetings. Peace be with you. Now in Phoebe, Romans chapter 8 would say there is no condemnation because she is in Christ Jesus. She is a sister. She is a daughter in the family of God. How do we know? Because she walks in the Spirit. She cries, Abba, Father, in this new creation being born from above by belief in the gospel. And so as Christ has welcomed her, so you should welcome her, church at Rome. As Christ has welcomed your brother or sister, when they join the membership, when they come seeking to know our body and to be a part of it, you should welcome them in the same way. Romans 15, we had a whole sermon about that, didn't we? Welcome one another who in Christ, as Christ Jesus has welcomed you. Peace, greetings, love. Gave my life for you. I would do anything. And I will do everything it takes to secure you unto glory. That's how Jesus has received you, brother, sister, regardless of your background, regardless of your ethnicity, regardless of your gender, regardless of whether you were a slave or whether you're a free man. You are welcomed to God because you're in Christ. You're without condemnation. And Christ opens up his arms widely and receives and loves and keeps all those who are his to the end. So why and how do we welcome one another in the body of Christ? As Christ. And on the grounds of Christ as he has welcomed us. Maybe let's just stop there before we go on to the third point. Doesn't that sound like a good church? Doesn't that sound like a healthy church? Doesn't it sound like a loving church? Wouldn't you want to be a part of a church like that? I do. I feel like we're growing in that. But when new Phoebes or new Priscillas or Aquilas come to Bethany because of work, because of financial needs, will we welcome them? Will it be that kind of place where they are warmly embraced, where they are warmly held accountable and looked over, their needs met, whatever it takes to encourage them in their faith? Will Bethany be that kind of church? Church at Rome was. They've already done it well with these, and Phoebe is another one to add. Finally, why to welcome? So verse 1a, who to welcome. Verse 2a, how to welcome. And then verse 2b, the last clause there, why to welcome. Pick up with me in the last part of verse 2. This is why you do it. For she has been a patron of many and of myself as well. There's reason There's reason why Paul is confident in her faith. There's reasons why Paul is confident she is born again. She is in Christ. He knows her well. He has served alongside her well. And they have worshiped together for months, maybe years. He has blessed her and she has blessed him by their ministry for the mission together. It is well grounded. In fact, in our list of names, remember, I think what he's saying here is welcome Phoebe as you have welcomed these people. Welcome Phoebe in a way that you have welcomed these brothers and sisters. Welcome Phoebe because of this great godliness and growth in her faith and serving and working hard for the church as all of these brothers that I also recommended and sisters. Look at chapter 16, verse 3. Here's the greeting. Here's the name, Prisca and Aquila, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. Verse 4, who risked their necks for my life, to whom not only I give thanks, but all the churches of the Gentiles give thanks. Verse 5, you get the church in their house, you get another name, Epaphroditus. Why are we confident that he should be received? Why should we love him in Christ? He was the first convert to Christ in Asia. It was well known his testimony. It was well known his conversion when Paul preached the gospel in Asia. Verse 6, greet or welcome, commended Mary. Why? She has worked hard for you. And on and on and on. Over 17 different reasons. Or similar reasons as beloved and well-known hard workers, fellow prisoners. That is the body of Christ. That is who it is made up of. Real people with real names from different backgrounds who are welcomed in Christ. But this also, they work hard for him. They have been so transformed by Christ that now they love one another. They love his gospel and they all serve. They're all fellow workers using their own unique gifts to serve for the mission of Christ wherever they are. Think about that. In this list of names, there's not a single apostle. He's not just saying, you know, the mighty apostles, they did all the work. We're not even sure if any of these names are actual pastors or elders. Chapter 16, verse 1, it's possible. Well, we know for sure Phoebe was not an apostle. She was not an elder because Paul restricted that for men. But she is called a servant, maybe even a deaconess. But she was important to the church. Do you see that? Sometimes as a church, we always talk about what women cannot do. Well, they can't preach. They can't be the pastors because Paul said, but the church was so dependent upon her nonetheless. Do you see that? She was vital. He trusted her to safely deliver that letter. She had been a patron supplying the needs of the saints in Synchre. Friends, there are women here, not just men. The church, as far as I know, has most often been held together not by godly men, but by godly women who have served and have worked hard. Verse 3, you have a married couple. They're probably doing marriage counseling. They're having home Bible studies. They are sharing the gospel wherever they get a chance. Might not be a preacher and a preacher's wife, but they are ministering. They're risking their necks for the gospel. Friends, there's all kinds of different work to go on in the church. He doesn't describe it in detail, but verse 6, greet Mary, who has worked hard for you. Andronicus, Junia, working hard. There's one here about a mother. Where is this? A mother to me as well. Verse 13. That was Rufus. Greet Rufus, chosen Lord, also his mother, who has been a mother to me as well. So she might not have been a preacher, but her prayers and her kindness and maybe her home cooking kept Paul going when Paul was weak. Do you see this? All kinds of different ministry going on in the church at Rome. Different kinds of people. So as Paul's giving this shout out, he's saying the church needs each and every one of its members to work hard, to labor for the gospel. Bethany Baptist Church needs people with different giftings serving in their different ways. Maybe as you think about that and you think about you're in Christ and you're a member of a church, maybe here, another church, would Paul be able to shout out your name in a letter if he was writing to the church that you gather with? Would he know you well enough to say that you truly are a brother or sister in Christ? And would he be able to say, they work hard in this way for the body of Christ? Would he be able to say that? One of the signs that someone has been born again is they are in Christ, they are received by him, but they're also empowered to take their earthly goods and to serve the kingdom. To use their lips, to use their home, to use their study, to use their hospitality for the kingdom. This was a sign that they had this bond of Christ, not only serving one another, but letting others serve them, as Jordan talked about earlier. Could Paul say the same of you? A couple of closing applications I want to make, particularly to Bethany. One of the ways we're going to grow as a healthy church is that membership ought to mean something. Holding each other accountable. But not only when people are members at our church, but when they seek membership elsewhere. When they move from here to the other side of town or God calls into another church, we ought to be able to say, we know them well and we commend them to you. But what about if someone has maybe been a member here for 10 or 15 years and we haven't seen them? We don't know how they're living. Isn't it a dangerous thing to just send a letter of recommendation to another church? We don't really know them. We can't really vouch for them. It doesn't mean that they're not a Christian, but we don't know them. Paul took very serious the naming of brother or sister, of commending to be received. This is one of the reasons why I want us to be very careful about that. Giving and receiving members, loving one another. I'm confident we're going to have a couple people join in the next couple of months. I want it to be a joyous moment of us celebrating. I'll probably reach out to their former pastor. We'll receive a letter. It'll be one of encouragement. Yes, they're dear saints. They're not perfect, but they work hard for the Lord Jesus Christ. They were to receive Phoebe, a sister, a patron of many, and of myself as well. So the last application here is this. Look at verse 16. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. What does this tell us about the relationship between churches in Rome and in other cities? It's mutual love. The church at Corinth, though they loved Phoebe, they were happy for the church at Rome to get her. They didn't get angry at God's providence. They didn't say, we don't want to pray for that church. We can't stand that church. They got our members. And now, no, they were happy when members transferred to biblical, healthy churches. They were happy to see the church across town grow, even if it maybe felt temporarily like it was at their expense. The churches knew each other, at least the like-minded ones, those who kept to the true doctrine and the true gospel, and they greeted one another. They knew about Maya and how she's doing at Jennings Creek. I feel like Maya was kind of like one of our Phoebes. We lost one of our best members, and it was a young lady, and she's gone to help with the church plant at Jennings Creek. We should still pray for them. We should still check up on her when we see her, or we see her pastor, and they're like, man, you took Phoebe from us. God, you took Maya from us. No, we're happy. We send our greetings to her. We receive those greetings. If we see her, we might call her. We will call her sister. And as appropriate, give her a warm Christian hug. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the churches of Christ greet you. We should be more kingdom minded than just Bethany Baptist Church. Praying for other churches. Happy even when other churches grow and we don't maybe grow as quickly. But happy that the mission of Christ is being accomplished in Rome, in Bethany, in Corinth. So I'm going to pray for us that these words, these credits, these random list of names would impact us and we would be the church that Christ has called us to. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. Every last word that you have preserved, that is necessary for our edification, that the man and the woman of God would be complete in Christ. Thank you for these words. Would you make us a more welcoming church, a more loving church, a place when people move to Bowling Green, they can't wait to be a part of that church because whatever need they have in Christ will be met. So would you empower us through the gospel with the way that Christ has freely loved us, reconciled us to you? We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. take a minute to reflect on the text, and then Pastor Jordan will come and lead us in our closing song.